You seem very leveled out today.
That's the mixture of Benadryl, Tylenol, and working through being sick.
You know, I was on track with the first one, and then the second one just didn't do anything for me.
I'm better than I was last week. I do okay until I talk for too long, which should make this fun. later in the day, it just hits again. So I had no episode last week. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, no worries.
This one might not get edited this week, but I showed up. I'm a good girl, Uncle Brent. I'm a good, good girl.
I don't know if this is that kind of episode.
Let's see where the Benadryl takes me.
That's pretty much all you can take, right?
I did take some Mucinex on the day I called in, which made me feel my body feel better and like cleared the junk out of my face and lungs. But it made me. I just had panic attacks all day. I guess I can't take that. I think there's something in the expectorants that make me anxious.
Maybe it makes you expectant.
I gave it to my daughter. I did good.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, right. I tried
passing
so hard.
Passing it on.
Tried
bad
so
genetics,
hard.
Head colds, chest colds.
I don't know what this is. It ain't a cold.
It's not. It'd be COVID.
Mm-mm.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I took several tests, all negative.
All right. Well, that's good. And now we're back in that happy place.
Yay.
I was going to try to tell you a Mabel story, but there have been too many for me to.
I know. I missed a week. Damn it.
She's been on a roll this week. I can't even remember them all because it's been multiples one after another. Now they just all blend together. So
give me the most recent.
I can't even remember. Cannot.
I really
They're
needed a
gone.
Mabel story.
She destroyed my brain.
Put Mabel on. Mabel.
She's funny. You'll have to talk to her for a while to get it out of her. So I got a new guitar and I waited. I'm still waiting for it to get in, but I got a new guitar coming in. So I'm looking forward because the last one, the neck cracked. And it's pretty much like only $100 more to get another, you know, over $200 to repair that one.
What'd you get?
The same exact one.
Which is?
It's a Tok, and it's a GN20CENS. But it has a big sound, that guitar. Yeah, I always thought Toks sucked. But then I heard this one, I was like, holy crap. I was like, what kind of guitar is this? And I looked at the headstock, and it said Takamani. So I was like, I am wrong. But yeah, that's just sounds so good.
Hey, tell everybody about Tresciani.
So big news on the Tresciani front. She has been marked for Grammy consideration for her album Sticks and Stones. So it's a very big deal.
I'm excited for her.
I am terrified for her.
No, I'm excited for her, man. I hope that it goes past consideration and that she gets to go to the Grammys, even if she just win, just to like experience that recognition reward for all her hard work, because she's been busting her ass and she deserves it. And she's a hell of a songwriter. If you haven't listened to any of our episodes with Tresciani, I think we got fucking three of them. Do it. You won't be disappointed. The chick rocks. She's awesome. We love her.
She's a good performer too.
So not that the Grammy people are ever fucking listening to Sound Pollution, but if you're listening, think very, very hard.
We're their dirty little secret. This artist is impressive, like glitter, but there's more to this rugged West Coast indie rocker. He writes, plays, and quilts. In 2023, he released Slightly Off Kilter using only his trusty four-track recorder. Later this year, he'll be featured in the Patty Yo Unplugged Backyard Festival in November. Please welcome Adam Spry.
Woo!
Howdy. Yeah. Is this where I go with the surgical knife?
Yeah, do it.
The record is definitely not all four track.
I figured it wasn't. I was just making a joke.
Okay. Just making sure.
But my question was.
Yeah.
This is my first question. Are you ready? Are you sure?
I'm ready.
Okay. So was the four track used a Tascam?
Yes. That actually made the record. The last song on the record, Circles, is all of my parts are done on four track. And then we did like the tiniest bit of overdubs in the box, in the computer. But 8 out of those 10 songs were all like four track demos first. And then I thought that they were all just demos for sure. Just like playing around with the four track to like hear the songs, you know, multi-tracked and everything. But then went and redid them in the studio, in my home studio and at my buddy's studio. But the last song on the record, Circles, is all based off of the four track recording that's kind of started everything. So
that's cool. So did you have someone on a mic hissing in the background for the other songs?
Yeah, I have a full-time guy. Yeah.
A full-time hisser.
Yeah, he's overpaid, but he does a good job, so it's okay.
That's funny.
Tell our listeners a little bit more about you and how you got started with music.
I come from a musical family in some ways, not like, I don't know. I've always been in love with music just in general. As a kid, I have very fond memories of singing along. My family is all very religious, so I'm a church kid when I like growing up. So that was always singing all the time. And they gave me a little bit of a stage when I was like, you know, a little kid to like do stuff. And my dad was always singing country music. And my mom is like an 80s rock gal, 80s, 70s, put me on all that stuff. So my music kind of turned into like a blend of my dad's country singer songwriter guys and like my mom's rock and roll a little bit. And then I found my own way. But I remember vivid memories of being in fourth, fifth grade, listening to Elvis number one hits, Beatles number one hits in the 6 CD changer minivan growing up, singing along. But I didn't really start thinking of myself as a musician till I was in seventh, eighth grade, started learning how to play guitar. And then about 3-4 months into learning how to like play guitar, I joined my first band and was started being absolutely obsessed with writing songs and Bob Dylan. And now I'm 31. So that's a little bit of a genesis there.
And how many instruments do you play now?
If I was going to tell you that I like played an instrument, I'm definitely a guitar player. I'm a bassist. In my life, I've been paid to play bass, been paid to play guitar. I've been paid as a singer, so as a professional, right?
Right.
But on my records, like play all kinds of like I'm sitting here in my brother-in-law's music studio. I'll play anything with keys. Like I can caveman chord my way through anything because I study like music theory and stuff. So I can do like a pad chords and stuff. Anything with strings. On slightly off kilter, I play like piano, synthesizer, noise tracks. I use like a mandolin, a cuatro, which is like a Puerto Rican stringed instrument, bass, anything that has strings. I'll like a lap steel guitar, play some stuff where I'll just play like one note on it. So I wouldn't tell people like I'm a cuatro player, but there's a roundabout answer for you.
So how did Slightly Off Kilter come to be? Because of course, we went into your website and checked everything out. I've been following you on TikTok for a minute, actually. But there's kind of a story behind how this album came to be. Why don't you tell us about it?
Well, I struggled with, still do, but have struggled with my mental health for a long time and kind of just didn't think anything about it. Thought that was just everybody's thing and just being a teenager and, you know, shit happens, not worried about it. But as far as like the record itself, I've been furiously writing songs for a very long time. And I would record with my buddy. His name's Trevor Brooks. He's worked on some really cool records with like Ezra Furman. He's the producer on the Sex Education soundtrack on Netflix, Artmore. He was like my guy. And the pandemic happened and I was kind of stopped in my tracks. So I just kind of assumed it was like, okay, I'm going to retire from music because, like, mm-hmm. you know, the world's over now for like a couple months. And I was like, oh, wait, like, this isn't about making, like, in the end of the day, it's not about making records. It's not about what other people think. I have to do this. Like, I'm still writing, even though there's like literally nothing, the world's standing still. I'm still writing songs. Still, it's just what I have to do. I don't even really want to do it sometimes, but I just do it anyway. And taught myself how to use Logic pretty much during the pandemic. The studio I'm in now, my brother-in-law, Michael, he lent me his Tascam 414 Porta Studio. And I was furiously writing and recording demos on that sucker. Wore the heads out, wore the tape out. Track 4 doesn't work anymore. just loved it. I love it. And I just had all these demos. I thought they were demos on the 4-track and they sounded good. And so I started like trying to do like multi-tracking in the box to a click track and like being able to, in my head, I heard these songs as not just me and an acoustic guitar, like, you know, like Elliott Smith style on the 4-track. So I was working on that. Nothing to do. I don't have a job.
You were retired too.
Yeah, I was working full time in music when the pandemic struck. Like I had a whole summer of like 5 days a week. I was making good money playing music too. Yeah. And so it was like, it was my artistic self kind of died a little bit, but also like my job died at the same in one fell swoop. And even if it was like not gigs, I always was like crazy passionate, like artistic gigs. I was working as a musician that funded my art to be able to do studio time. So that was just like crazy. And anyway, I taught myself how to use, like, I really dove headfirst into like, okay, if I don't do this, these songs are going to die in my head and I'm going to lose my mind more than I already am. So just started recording and trial and error and everything started sounding good. I thought this all sounds good as like demos. And I showed my buddy who I just mentioned before, Trevor, I sent him all the songs. Like, I think these sound cool as demos. We should, when things lighten up a little bit, we should go record this. And he's like, dude, this sounds awesome. Like, what are you talking about? Why don't we just use this? I was like, oh, okay. Like, I've never been an engineer. I still don't even consider myself an engineer, but I like technically am now. But he's like, no, dude, this is sick. Do not start over. Like, you've got it here. And so we like took all those recordings I did. And then when things finally started lighting up, like, cause I'm in San Francisco. So like, I don't know where you guys are located, but we were like the first place to lock down in this country.
I have my family lives out there.
Yeah. So like it was scary. We were locked down and my homies in like Nashville and like wherever were like, oh, you're such a loser. Like, what are you doing? We're out here partying. And like, we literally couldn't like leave the house. We had like martial law. Anyway, I feel like I'm taking forever to describe this, but we finally were able to meet with Masks On. I got my buddy Scott Wright, incredible drummer. He's like my best friend. He's my current live drummer too, but he also drums on all my stuff. We did overdubs in the studio and he came in and just played drums on all this stuff. I had like a programmed like 4-on-the-floor beat with no fills on and everything came to life. And then I sat on the record for about a year thinking I'm still not good enough and dealing with my mental health, like thinking I'm a failure, thinking that, oh, I haven't done this or that. And all my friends in music who I know are got label deals and I'm a piece of shit. And finally just said, screw it. And decided to pursue it for myself and not for anyone else. And the record came out in March of this year. And it's been amazing. And people have really responded to it.
Struggling. I'm gonna touch on this just for a second. So struggling on the mental health part and not feeling like what you do is good enough to put out, you're worthless, blah, blah, blah. That's really hard, I feel like, for a musician. I mean, it's hard for everybody. Please don't get me wrong. But when you're a creative person and your life relies on putting forth art and you're more terrified than like your friend Bob over here. How do you overcome that? Do you just say, fuck it?
You know,
what's your thing? Brent's nodding. He's like, yes, we just say, fuck it. We just do it. We just do it.
I mean, part of it is, but like having the courage to say, fuck it is like the same thing as like, that's confidence, right? Like,
right.
Saying fuck it isn't just like, not anyone can do that. That's why people don't.
Brent, I can't do it.
I can't do it often. That's why I'm still to this day sitting on like albums worth of material that I just like, I don't know.
I'm going to teach y'all now how to say fuck it. You ready?
I'm ready.
One. When I get to three, we just all say fuck it together.
Okay.
One, two, three. Fuck it. Yeah. No, you just have to. I mean, for me, I had hit a certain time in my life, and I was just like, my life has not turned out like any, doesn't resemble anything I wanted it to. We only have so many circles around this planet, so I have nothing to lose. I'm already a failure, is pretty much where I came down to. And so at that point, when I doubt myself, and it's okay to doubt myself because I do it all the time, I start with, okay, you suck. So because you suck, what's the worst going to happen? That has already happened. So you just go forward, you know?
Yeah.
But there's like a block there for some of us, dude.
Yeah. And also like, it was kind of like, okay, no one's listening anyway, so might as well just move on from these songs that are like getting old. Mm-hmm. But it's also like, if you don't try, you're 100% going to fail.
Right.
But if you try and fail, at least you can live with yourself. And it took, I've been regularly going to therapy for like, since like pandemic fell, like in, I don't know, April or May or something, but very regularly. And that's helped me tremendously, like just getting perspective. Like, this is all relative. I'm living the sweet life pretty much. I make records that I want to make. I am healthy, and it's not, I'm an artist. So it comes, yeah. You just got to like come around to it. But it's a struggle still for sure. Yeah, I just couldn't sit around and wait anymore. And then my wife got pregnant, and it was like, okay,
that'll do it.
I'm busier than ever. I'm working harder than ever. And I have a kid now. Like, yeah. It makes me feel regret for my 20s that I just like was being a sad boy and like, oh, why has no one discovered me? Oh, man. I'm so good. Like, no one will discover me. Like, because that's not how it works.
No, it's not. Not
you anymore. Have a great amount of self-loathing, which I really appreciate. It's really good, and you have a good sense of humor about it too. So this might be personal, and I'm gonna tell you something about me, and then maybe you're comfortable answering it, maybe you're not. You know, maybe you say fuck it. I don't know what you're gonna do, but I'm gonna go ahead and tell you a story. I had been working on my music, you know, writing my own songs, getting in the studio, getting them recorded, and I noticed after I got done, I got really depressed, like super depressed or very anxious. It's a big sadness that fell over me. So I went and got medication for it because I couldn't. And I realized my doctor was like, you're having anxiety and you're not dealing with it very well. Let's give you this medication. And that helped out a lot too for me. And I was going to ask, did you get placed on medication or anything?
Yep. Still take it.
Me too.
It's like the smallest dose that they'll give me, but it's just like level. It made the valleys less low, and you know.
Yeah.
Like
you're mine's still the largest.
I could probably use a little more sometimes, but yeah. It just makes like the lows not as low for me. And I haven't noticed like it affect my highs, and I haven't noticed affect like my creative output. Like I was, oh God, like I'm not going to go on my medication like Kanye and I can't make records. And
Well, Kanye can make records. We just don't want to fucking hear him.
Yeah. That's the whole thing. I shouldn't even said anything, but,
I'm good. I don't give a shit anymore.
Yeah. But, medication. Yes. I think it was what I needed. Just like when everything's in place and you're still like a little off. You know,
yeah.
So, and it's still like a stigma with like my family and stuff sometimes, like, Oh, what's why? Like, did I do a bad job or?
No,
like, well, maybe, but
well, maybe,
but probably.
It's a chemical imbalance. Like, it's,
yeah,
you know, when people, when I hear people talk shit about medication, I'm like, great, it's not something you do, then you don't have to take it. But it's something that my friend needs, so he has to take it. If my friend had a broken leg, would you tell him not to wear a cast?
Yeah.
No, you fucking wouldn't. It's stupid.
Yeah.
Leave people alone. Let them take their meds.
And the
take
brain.
Your meds and drink and your water.
And the brain. I don't know if people like forget this, but like, it's in our body.
It's part of the. It's like the main.
It's physical health. It's like disassociated. And I felt that way for a long time. Like, oh yeah, why would I need that bullshit? Like, oh. That's just for like wussies who like, like just keep drinking. You'll be fine.
Yeah. That will make your depression worse at all.
Like, oh yeah. Like I'm just like drunk and sad instead of just like just sad.
Now so. I'm drunk and crying. Now I'm that guy.
Yeah. So, it took me a lot of, long time to, finally be like, all right, I need help.
Good for you. Yeah. Not a lot of people are willing to admit, especially to the world that, hey, I needed help and I went and got it.
Yeah. And just having like a child and just like magnified everything. Like if I can't take care of myself, I definitely can't take care of another human being.
Right.
But it's still there. It's not like, oh, I went to therapy. Now I'm like such a better person than you. Like
I'm cured. No, it doesn't work.
People, because people talk about it like that. Like, oh, I've been talking to Dr. Lopez and now I'm like, like, oh, yeah, my life's figured out. Like, it's just like, it's a struggle. So
I don't know if it ever goes away. I mean, I think your ability to manage it gets better, but I think it might be something that's always there and that's okay.
Yeah. Learning how to handle stuff. Yeah. Cause you're probably not going to change who you are, especially the older we get.
Shut up, man. You calling me old?
No, us, all of us, everybody.
Cause sometimes for me, do you think when you're sad, do you have a harder time writing the lyrics or does it give you ammo to write with?
No, I don't. For me, like someone asked me this a couple of days ago and like, when do you write or what do you write about or why do you write? Or
that was my next question.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, I'm going on a podcast in a couple of days. I should think about this. And anytime I've ever like sat down, be like, I'm going to write a song. Usually it sucks.
Right. It never turns out good.
There's people like Jeff Tweedy or like folks who like have their schedule and they write every day and they like do a thing. And I just like don't give a shit. Like I won't write for a month and then I'll write 6 songs in 2 days and then I'll write a song a week and then I won't write anything. And, I don't like, oh, I'm in a lull. I gotta grab my guitar. Like, it's just, I keep the instruments around like ready to go and I pick them up because I think that inspiration's not going to strike if you're not like trying to write stuff. But usually I just pick up a guitar and look, I'll just pick it up off the wall and just start doing a little thing. And that's all I ever really want to do is play songs. I don't want to jam with people very much. I just want to make new songs all the time. Even if I just like am in the studio and we're recording a song, I'll be like, oh, but this chord change is pretty sick. We could like, this could be another song. Like, dude, the mics are set up. Like, I just want to make new ones and then forget about them a little bit. Just it's like, maybe it's like my diary, but, I forgot what your question was.
No, I think you answered all the questions I was going to ask without me asking, which is awesome. Thanks for making my job easy. I appreciate it.
I'm not super deliberate about writing. It's not like, oh, I'm mad. I need to get my guitar and just play a solo for an hour. It's just like happens and I don't try to stress it. But when it's happening, you kind of know, you know, it's happening and to like give yourself time for that idea to like happen and record it, however, write it down. Or I usually just put everything in my voice memos. I've got, I don't know, 10,000 voice memos on hard drives everywhere of shit that I'll never see the light of day, but every once in a while they're okay.
Yeah. This last time I wrote a song and I was like just doing the initial recording. And so normally I do a little blurb at the beginning and then I'll go into it or whatever. So I go, new song idea. Here it is right here. And I go, Bill, I'm going to play it at this tempo. He's my drummer, but I don't know if it's going to stay at that tempo. So I played it and then at practice I played it for him. And he's like, you mentioned me. I was like, yeah, because I knew you were going to go, is this the tempo you want to do it at? I think it's better here. So it's just funny. It's funny.
Yeah.
I always monologue at the beginning of it before I get into it.
Yeah, but you documented the spark, so it's like, it's great. They still, to me, all those songs that only I know, or like my wife, or like my friends have heard, that I'll never let anyone hear, like, they're still just as special to me as like, well, maybe not every single one, but a lot of them are just as special to me, and I'll play them like in my solo set, like, or I'm playing by myself. Mm-hmm. It's still a thing that you created that wasn't there before.
Yeah.
Like, I know this song isn't good for like good, but like my daughter will dance when I play it.
And that's all that matters.
And it lives and it breathes because I keep it alive. And it's just like, I like it. And at the end of the day, like as an artist, you have to make songs that you like. I'm just speaking right to the camera. There's one. You cannot make songs that you don't like. It's just like, doesn't work you can, but like that's not the one you want to put your money behind and go in the studio with.
That's true. So I don't.
That's what I mean. You make songs you don't like all the time and they go away. That's how you get better as a songwriter. But the songs that are really gonna like fucking, you're gonna fucking feel it and that you want to put your life behind, your life as in like your time, which is the most important resource, and your money. If you don't fucking believe in it, it's going to suck. And maybe it won't be if you're like super talented, but like your life isn't going to be enriched like you want it to be. So you just got to write shit that you just love, which is what it took me a really long time to do. Like, oh, people are liking this kind of rhythm or whatever the fuck. And they're trying to make people happy. And like, oh, I don't even like this. This song's dumb.
I don't like it.
So for the past like while, I feel like I've really found a place I'm comfortable with. It's just a song that I want to hear like when I'm driving in the car on the radio that I like.
Brent, do you want to ask about the first song? Which one do you want to start with?
Can we start with Cruel Dream?
What do you want to know about it?
Go to town.
This song has a mysterious old school feel to it for me. Nice full chorus. The guitar riff under the chorus is really cool. Cool use of open string on the solo. I think you're using a little bit of open string. So here's my question. What did you use to get the guitar tone? And it was multiple guitars, but there was one in there in specific that had almost a flange type sound to it.
You mean the chorus riff?
Yeah.
It's all DI in my shitty Sapphire Pro 40 interface.
Damn it, that's not what I wanted to hear.
But it's a nice guitar. It was my Nash T63 Telecaster. Bill Nash, nice. PNW guitar builder. I did them all DI because that's what I had. Because I did it in my little, like, it was not a studio. I call it my home studio. It's a Sapphire. It's like $100 interface. Straight into that input one, the high Z one, I think. Hopefully I was using that right. And I double tracked it. And then I think it had some chorus on it. I didn't engineer the record. I like tracked. I recorded a lot of the tracks, but my buddy Trevor Brooks mixed it and that. So I can't tell you like specific like the plugin or anything, but it's DI guitar.
Now, and the solo was what?
The solo, that was done in the studio. We had the song pretty tracked from like my home recordings and then my buddy coming in doing drums. And I knew I recorded it with like, okay, that's where the solo goes. And we did so many takes of solos. My buddy and Trevor, I just keep bringing his name up because he was such an integral part of this whole thing. Like he should be sitting next to me here, really, to be honest. But he did so many takes and they're like cool solos, but it's just like, it was almost, we both agreed. It was like, oh, it's too good. Like, it sounds too good. Like, it's not right. Like, the vibe isn't right. And so I was like, why don't I do the solo? I'll do the solo. Cause we both agree, like, he's a better guitar player than me. I'm a good guitar player, but I'm like, not like a great guitar player, but I'm good. I have my vibe thing. I'm like a vibe guy. And I did a couple takes and I felt like, this is dumb. Like, why don't you just do it, Trevor? And he's like, okay, this is what I want. This is like kind of a highway driving, like not a care in the world song. We're going to do the next take and just play this solo because I know you don't care about it. Play it, even lean into the fact that you don't want to be here and you don't give a single fuck about this solo. I was like, okay. And I like changed my posture and slanked and I did that solo and I was, and it's like, that's the fucking vibe. And I think I did a couple takes after maybe and it was like, no, that's the one right there. And we just, it was, and the last note of the solo was overdubbed in because I played the wrong note probably, but super proud of that riff. Love that riff. Ding, 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 ding.
It was such a cruel dream. I didn't really want to tell you when you asked me what it.
Those are when I feel most strong about the songs. I'm not trying to write. Just grabbed a guitar, song passed through me almost as if I'm like an antenna and heard it like it's been there before. And then just put it down and then that was it. And didn't think twice about the lyrics. Never like rewrote them or nothing. That song existed as a 4-track demo. And then just did a full band version. Trying to keep that. Everything I try to do is try to keep the vibe in it. You said it sounds like a classic song earlier. I think anything that has like a real drum kit and guitars that aren't like edited to the grid and like heavy autotune vocals these days a little bit feel like they're a classic because right. It's like not like the modern like engineering mixing technique. But I'm like a Beatles nerd and 60s, 70s, 80s.
That's so funny because when I listened to that song, I literally wrote, it's like Beatles, but dream pop.
Yeah. I almost don't even want to say anything right now, but had a couple of Mai Tais. So the comparison I get the most all the time is, oh, this sounds like the Beatles.
Right.
That's not bad. That's what you want to be compared to.
You think that's what you want to be compared to. You cannot. Really? You can't say that. You ever say that to someone? You sound like you sound like the biggest fucking asshole on the planet.
No, I've never said that to anyone. But you would be fine if someone told me that.
Oh, it's an incredible, incredible, incredible compliment, and I don't agree with it a lot. I don't think it's but that's what people say all the time. And that's like it's like I almost feel cheesy saying it. They're my favorite band. Like there are a lot of people's favorite bands. That's the band I get most often all the time. Sounds like the Beatles. Okay. You ever try to market yourself like, oh, it sounds like the Beatles. This guy's a fucking asshole. And then
they like, yeah, right.
So you have to say you sound like the Kinks or you sound like it's like, okay, it's Britpop. I've had many criticisms from people in the music industry. And even my friends are like, you sound like a fucking asshole. It's like that's what people tell me. I'm trying to tell them what people, but you, it's just like, so I didn't even want to say it, but to me, I'm just trying to like do shit like that. And I think when people say it sounds like the Beatles, they more say like, oh, it's not afraid to like do weird like overdubs or like backwards guitar track or but it doesn't really sound like the Beatles to me, but they're my like favorite band, so makes sense.
I'm going to go from that song right into the next one. We're going to talk about Rotten Mausoleum. I have a question. Where the hell did you come up with that name? Because that is chef's kiss.
I came up with that idea for like the verses. My wife and I went on our honeymoon in Italy. I was walking around. I wrote like a short story about it. Basically, the idea was like I put myself in the mind of like I'm like the Roman emperor, right? You're like 20 years old. Your dad just died or some shit. And you're forced into this role. And before he died, you were just like, you know, looking at art and reading poems with like your art friends. And the whole idea is just like walking around Rome, like everything is just like a broken statue, like monuments to everything. Everything you walk by is a statue that's like the arms are cut off or so it was all about Italy, Rome, pretty much Rome and Florence and shit. Like the lyrics are like, there's going to be someone after me. Like I'm the emperor now, but like there's someone in my chair. Doesn't really matter. I watch my records burn because it's all going to crumble and none of this fucking matters. Like there's just a bunch of tourists from another country looking at these pieces of rock that don't mean anything. So it was all from that crumbling statues. And then I don't know where mausoleum came from. I don't even know if I knew that. I think I knew that word in passing, but
oh, it works.
Fucking proud of that song. That's like my baby.
It's beautiful.
Still, and that's another one. Like I don't care if anyone likes it or hears it. I just gotta put this out because I love it. And we played it for like 3 years before I ever put it out in my live shows. And everyone's like, "That song's sick. When are you gonna record it?" From Slightly Off Kilter, that didn't come like a pandemic era song. I was gonna do that as a single, and then I was getting ready to release it, and then pandemic happened shortly after, and then I just tacked it onto the record.
So the intro is very has a patriotic feel to it, and the dual guitar parts are kind of cool, and then the instrument build, love those, and you do those throughout the song. But the thing I loved most about this song was the vocals have a great tone. What type of vocal tones are you developing when you're working on a song? You know, what influences it, things like that.
I don't put too much stock into like, oh, I'm trying to sound like this. That song came super organically, and the yodel, you're talking about that yodel in the verses. It's like myself, it's like I'm a fan of that part. Without that yodel in it, I don't think the song would be as good. It's like the watch my records burn. It like does a yodel and I crack on it like half the time. That's my whole background is like I'm a huge, huge classic country fan. All that, like Hank Merle, Tom T. Hall. Like I love classic country. None of that modern riding on my yacht and wearing skinny jeans and being like a creepy guy thing. But that stuff, I can't even really get away from it that often. Like I'm trying to make, as Rennell said, like surfy indie rock and yodeling, just because that's who I am in my like bone creeps in. And it's just like, it feels so original to me. I'm super proud of the way that vocal came out. Yeah. And I think a lot of my favorite songs, just as a fan of other bands, is like songs that sound so great. And it's like, oh, this is so fucked up what he's like singing, or he or she or they are singing about, but like sounds so like inviting at the same time. Like there's so many like, songs like that. I can't think of anything, but
my favorite song like that is that Outkast song where he's basically talking about how I can't remember if it's what Hey Ya. Where
they're talking
about like, you know, relationships suck, da 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 da. And then he's like, y'all don't hear me, you just want to dance. And you're like, wait. But if you don't pay attention to the lyrics, you're like, oh, it's a bop.
Yeah. So I try to really lean into that a lot. People really don't. A lot of people don't listen to the words a lot, which is fine. And it's just like what comes. I think I started writing as like a teenager, a young teenager, is like a way to like cope with my, oh, this like girl doesn't like me, or I'm sad boy or something, is like a way to get that out of myself. So it's just like so easy for me to write like 2 to 3 verses of really downer shit. Writing a happy song is like, that's when I'm like, this is going to suck. I can't do this. And I've written some cool happy songs that I like, but like, I just feel like I feel like an imposter. So I'll let me know when you need a couple of downer verses. I'll get them to you in like an hour.
Live show look like, and do you have any upcoming gigs?
Upcoming gigs, November 3rd in San Francisco at the Kilowatt Bar. It's in the Mission, Mission District of San Francisco. Anyone who's in the Bay Area.
Miss the Mission.
It's a free show. It's a Friday night. And then the next night, the 4th of November, it's a Saturday. I'm playing like a solo acoustic set. It's like a house show. It's called Patio, P-A-T-I-Y-O, in Rock Ridge in Oakland. It's like a house show. You pay like $20 and you get like alcohol and food and good
That's
vibes.
That's the spot to be, listeners. Yeah. That's it right there.
It's going to be a lot of fun. November 4th. That's a Saturday, November 4th in Oakland. All those tickets are online at any of my social media sites in the bio, TikTok, Instagram. So those are the upcoming shows. Usually the shows lately that I've been doing, like the past year, my good friends, they have a band called Big Rig. They're like a rock and roll, like a little harder rock band. And we do like rock and roll versions of all my songs. And it's been a lot of fun, just like in your face, real fast rock and roll. And I get my screens out. And it's a little bit different than like if someone's expecting a certain version of a song, but it's high energy, a lot of fun. And I love those guys. They're like my BFFs now. So yeah, the live show is high energy. And even when I'm doing my solo sets, like I kind of beat the shit out of my guitar when I do like a solo set, break a string, probably I'm yelling, I'm engaging with the crowd and it's a good time. I try to make everyone feel included and I have a lot of fun doing it, whether it's solo or full band. And then nothing else, those two shows, 3rd and 4th of November. And then I got some fun stuff coming up in 2024. Really fun
nice.
Stuff.
Awesome.
All right, let's get into Chipping Away. Okay, I have a lot more on this song. I think this was actually my favorite song.
Oh, cool.
It's totally different listening experience because of the synth and keys. Nice use of your bass vocals. And once again, you have that grit to it that I enjoy. Catchy second chorus. I'm doing it wrong. I like that. Was that a second chorus?
Yeah, like a, there's like an A section, the verse, the B section, the chorus. There's like a solo section, like a, yeah, like a second mm-hmm. chord, like a hook or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's yeah. Like that a tag.
Was,
yeah.
That was very cool, I thought. So this song to me has a Cars Rick Ocasek feel to it.
I've gotten that comp before.
It's not a typical words in this song. Ampersand, redirect. So I thought that was interesting. My favorite lyric in this is, and I'm praying for the life of an ampersand. What made you put ampersand in the song?
That whole lyric, hold my hand. I hear your sister fighting and I'm praying for the life of the ampersand. Some friends of mine who I knew like their sister, sister and the boyfriend were fighting and I was worried about them staying together and her and him. We're praying for the life of the ampersand. I hope to stay together. Pretty
interesting.
On the nose, but it doesn't feel that way. The way the right. lyrics come across. Yeah.
It's cool though. It's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. That's where that came from.
My favorite line is San Francisco sidewalks are a ghost.
That whole song, where it came to be, where it came to live, there's a poster right here from the exact show I was at, LCD Sound System, that show at the Bill Graham Civic Center. My brother-in-law, Michael, and my sister-in-law, Lauren, own a coffee shop in San Francisco called nice. Andytown Coffee Roasters, and they did coffee backstage for the band for all the shows that they did at Bill Graham for LCD Sound System. So I got family friends tickets to go to that show. And I was like, okay, sure, I'll go to LCD Sound System. I thought I was like a guy with a laptop. Had no fucking clue. Went to the Bill Graham and I was like, holy fucking shit. Yeah. This is the best fucking band I've ever seen in my life. They're like 8 people on stage. They literally awesome. Like, they took my little tiny brain and just like punched it over and over and melted it, kicked it to the curb. And I was like, it completely blew my brain open of like what a band could be. Like, oh, bands are rock and roll and shitty like DJs are laptops, electronic kind of music. And I was like, holy fucking shit, this is amazing. It took me a couple of days. And then in driving in my old beater truck I used to have, I had that line. just like the paint that's on the wall, I feel like I'm chipping away. And I wrote, and I sang that like 1,000 times into my phone over and over and over. And I was like, we got to write it. And I went to my buddy Trevor, the guy who has done all my releases up to this point. And he's a huge LCD Sound System fan before that. And he was at those shows with me. He's like, I was actually a fan of them. And I was like, I want to do dance rock, like LCD Sound System. They just blew my mind open. And I got the hook and that whole chorus, just like the paint that's on the wall, I feel like I'm chipping away. And that's all I had. And he's like, got it. And I like played a little corporation on the, I think I maybe had one other line, but I don't even know. And he started going to town like with the modular synthesizers and drum machines and all this shit for like 2 hours. I was paying for the studio time and I thought like, oh God, this is a waste of my money. Like, this is sounding crazy. Like, this is not like music yet. And then he's like, okay, I'm done with this part. And while he was doing all that, I wrote all the lyrics to the song in the studio. That song was done in one day in like 5 hours. And it came so fucking organically. I only play guitar on that. I play guitar and sang. That's it. Trevor's everything else. Drums, all those weird synths and the guitar solo and noise tracks. And it was a bit of a blur, but yeah.
Well, it's awesome.
I fucking love that song. And we play it live in my sets now, like 2 guitars, bass, drums. And we like turn on all the pedals, delay and fuck it up. But it's like a bit of a punk rock version. And
oh, no, but that would be good too.
Yeah, I love it. I'm going to put out a live video of that soon. For my gig we did in August. Yeah, I think just in general, like a song that's a good song, whatever genre you do it in, it's going to be a good song.
What advice would you give a new singer-songwriter?
You ready?
Yeah.
You ready for the advice?
Yes.
New singer-songwriter? Go to shows. Go support your local scene. Right, like tonight. Like, what time is it? It's 6:45 in my town. There's probably a show at 8 o'clock. Get your ass out of your fucking home, wherever you are, your house, your apartment. Go to a show and go support your scene. Because if you don't support your scene, it won't support you back. And if you want to play shows in that scene, you're going to be screwed. Took me really, 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 really long time to figure out that it's all about the hang. Doesn't matter how good you are or how good you think you are, you have to put in the effort into the people around you, or they will not want to have anything to do with you because they don't even know who you are, because you're stuck in your house or you're stuck doing whatever. You have to support the people around you if you want anyone to give a shit about what you're doing. That's like the being an artist, like
that's good advice,
getting your project out there kind of advice. I try to give to everyone is the advice I would give my 21-year-old self.
Really, we've hard never for had introverts. That before. No, we have never had that as an answer.
That has never been said.
That's good.
Good shit.
Go support the scene. There are bands on the scene right now, singers, songwriters, artists who are not as good as you, but they are getting all the motherfucking gigs because they support the scene and they have the hang. You have. It's all about the hang. All of it. All of it. That's why these bands are like, why are they blowing up? Because they curated their scene or community or the hang, and they met that one person that one time at 11:30 at night in the alley outside the gig that helped them get to that step. They got to the other step.
That's super true.
It's all about the hang. Pretty much in anything in life, but it's all about the hang. And it took me way too long to realize that. And I'm now trying to live that life with a kid and I do it and I'm fucking tired, but
dude, that's literally 10 years older than you. And like, I know you're right, but then I'm like, but I like my bed.
Yeah. Oh, 7 o'clock rolls around. It's time for pajamas and bedtime.
Night time.
It's night. Yeah. Yeah. That's my advice for it. I mean, that's besides advice, like, besides like advice, soaking though. Everything like a sponge and becoming a better musician and all that shit. Support your local scene.
Never had that answer. That's a fantastic answer.
It's the answer, I think. Support your scene. It'll support you back.
All right. Thanks for joining us this evening or during the day or in the morning.
Or in your car. Because
you'll be getting this
or on the toilet. Did I say toilet or toilet?
You said the toilet.
Toilet.
Or something like it. Oh, you can hear the screams of the children. Anyway. Thank you all for joining us. Hope you all enjoyed Adam Spry. You can find him online. He's out there everywhere. So show him some love, give him support. The other thing is you're listening to us. So we're providing something for you. Maybe it's an infection. Maybe we make you laugh.
No. I love you so much, you stupid ass.
But we are officially a part of your life. So if you care for us at all, you would share with the rest of our family. Let's just grow this community and have a good time and share music with each other and learn about other musicians and help support them in their journey. But we appreciate all you do.
Those links are below. Please like, follow, subscribe, and download. And remember to get out there and make
some
noise. I'm not. It's there.